Romans chapter 11, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren," he's talking to the saints of God, as I've said before, "that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." They're not completely blind, but they're blinded in part. See, "until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And this is the times of the Gentiles when the rapture of the church takes place. The saints of God are called out of here. The days of the Gentiles will be through. The fullness of the Gentiles will be complete. And the Lord then will resort back to dealing with the Jew. And the nation be born in a day. Now last week, we said and we talked about in the last several weeks that there is a contrast and a parallel between the days of Christ and the days just prior to the coming of the Son of God in the rapture. And we went back and said that there's two factions or two groups that were controlling things in the days of Christ, and they were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that's the two factions, and there was the two groups. Jesus dealt much with the Pharisees. He said he called them hypocrites and so forth. They were the religious group. I told you before, and we preached on a little bit of that on Wednesday night, that the Pharisees were the religious crowd. Well, the Sadducees were too, but the religious separatists, that's what the Pharisees were. They separated from everything, even God. And they had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. That's exactly what the Pharisee did in his day with Christ. But the Sadducees were just a little bit different group, even though they were a religious group. They control things. So we're going to look at this morning. And the Sadducees are a type of the liberals and the modernists that we have today. So we find in comparison and in parallel that in the days of Christ they had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And today we have the same thing in our day, but not the Pharisees and the Sadducees by name. But we do have the liberals and the modernists in the one faction. And then we have the fundamentalists, amen, which we call ourselves fundamentalists, and thank God we are. And there's a good fundamentalist and bad ones, amen. Some of us are fundamentally, not fundamentally, amen. And so we want to look at this morning again about the Sadducees. I want to go back and look at this. We haven't taken much time for that except for last Sunday. We're going to do it again this morning. Now the Sadducees were actually in charge of much of the force of religion that was going on in the day. And we'll find today that that same thing is taking place. Right before Christ comes, we're finding that to happen. It's the modernists and the liberals in the religious world that we're having problems with today. I don't know whether you recognize it or not, but if you don't, you need to get to the place you recognize it. You see, we're finding that the modernists and the liberals are controlling the country. It's their agenda that they put out there. Actually, they control a lot of the preachers. A lot of preachers are controlled by the modernists and the liberals. Matter of fact, many of the preachers are modernists and liberals. And they're filling our pulpits. We'll find that it even controls the White House to a certain degree in the religious system. And we're finding that even the nations, if you believe that, I do, and I honestly believe that's happening in the business world. They control that. Matter of fact, you see it manifested this week in what we call the climate change. You know, they're going berserk off of climate change. Now, you can hug trees all you want to and do what you please with all that, but I don't have no problem. They're afraid that, here they are worrying about their grandchildren and the earth are going haywire. Well, it's going to go haywire on God's appointed time. It ain't forever anyhow. This is not our eternal home. Praise God. And I'm glad of that. Well, we see that. But I'm going to give you some things about these. So you listen fast. I'm going to be talking fast. And I don't have time to slow down. So we look at this. They denied the supernatural. They didn't look at things as supernatural. They explained away the miracles when Jesus performed the miracles. they would explain them away. Now, we're talking about the Sadducees, the modernists, the liberals. That's exactly what they're doing in our day. And they would talk about the healings. When Jesus would heal somebody, they'd have their little ideas about, hey, that was mental cases. That wasn't really happening and taking place. That wasn't real. And they denied those facts, and they done that. And matter of fact, I read this not too long ago about somebody believing this, and that's what the Sadducees did. They didn't even believe that Jesus died completely. What they did when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, you remember the scripture came along and they broke the legs of one of the thieves and broke the legs of the other thief, but they didn't break the legs of Christ? Well, the reason they broke the legs is so that the body would slumber on down and it wouldn't hold, and it would smother and suffocate and die. And so they didn't break Jesus' legs because they said he was already dead. And the reason that they didn't break his legs is because God Almighty had already said that not a bone of his body would be broken. So they ignored that. They looked over that. They didn't follow the scriptures. So what they said is, he didn't die. He just went into a coma, laying in the grave for 3 days and three nights in the cool tomb. He survived and revived and got up, pushed the tombstone away, and stood out and said, I have risen from the dead. And that's what the Sadducees taught. So they didn't believe in a resurrection. You see, that's the kind that they explained it away. We've got that same crowd today. You'd be surprised at the people that's gone to church today that don't believe that Jesus literally rose from the grave on the third day. Spiritual people, religious people. Amen. Now, if you don't believe that today, just get to searching some of the religious whims and go looking at what they say, and I'll guarantee you you'll find that in there. They did not believe that Moses was able to part the water, and Moses wasn't. God did. But they didn't believe the water got parted. They said Moses was a man who had the wisdom and the knowledge of Egypt, lived there so long, he knew where the best crossing place of the sea was. Amen. And they said they went over in 6 inches of water. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing that is to think it's even a greater miracle that them chariots came and stuck and all the Egyptians drowned in 6 inches of water. That's a miracle too. Amen. What about that? So anyhow, they would deny that. They come along and they said, oh, Jonah, it was not real. It's a fairy tale. It's something that you give as a nursery rhyme and a good story for the children. I've even heard that in these days. In my days, have you? I've heard people talk, well, I don't believe Jonah's inspired. I don't believe Jonah's inspired, people. That's what they'll say. But it is. It's just as inspired of God as any. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And so we go on. This kind of theology is scholarship at its prime. What scholarship? Amen, to believe all that. They teach that man is a master of his own fate. They teach that we are captains of our own soul. You've heard that little phrase, hadn't you? Captains of our own soul. They believe in positive thinking. Amen. What does that mean? If you think you're good, you're good. If you think you're bad, you're bad. But they want to look at the good side of it. They'll say that we all have a spark of righteousness in us. And if we fan the spark enough, it'll flame up into righteousness. Amen. Even one thing about that, there ain't nothing in there to bring out. There's no good in us. Are you with me? Amen. They think they're good, but they're not. They scoff at devils. They scoff at witches. They deny that there's a devil, and they deny that there is a Holy Spirit. Don't that sound like today? And they say there's no Holy Spirit because nobody's ever seen Him. Amen. Don't see the Holy Spirit, but I sure do feel His presence. Amen. I know the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit shows up. Amen. I thank God for it. Amen. I mean, boy, that kind of scholarly minds and hearts are filling our pulpits. That's the dangerous thing about all this across our country. It is. Now, here's one. This is something, and I hear preachers preach on it all the time. These same kind of little liberals and modernists, they'll preach on the Sermon on the Mount. That's the highlight of their preaching. They love the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm going to make a statement this morning. You may not like it, and it don't make no difference. But you memorize the Sermon on the Mount. You can study it. You can analyze it. You can dissect it. You can apply it. You can live by it. But you can also go to hell off the Sermon on the Mount, too. If you look at it, there's nothing in the Sermon on the Mount that tells you how to get saved. It talks about salvation. It does not lift the blood. It does not lift repentance. It just tells you what you are, how you're to live, if you are saved. The Sermon on the Mount is what we ought to practice if we are born again. Think about that. But it won't get you born again. Amen. So just think about that. And I hear these preachers preach on the Sermon on the Mount. And they go into big details about that. Actually, it's about a kingdom. Amen. It's actually what will happen with the kingdom effects and the effects of salvation. We won't get into that right now. These Pharisees were what we would call today social reformers. Social reformers. Amen. Do you think we got any social reformers in our day? That's all they're trying to do. Amen. What they're trying to do is reform society, control society. The Sadducees, the liberals, the modernists of our country today. What they try to do, they promote and push education. I like education. I wish I had more of it, don't you? Amen. You say amen. Well, you don't hurt my feelings by thinking that I need more education. I do. Amen. But here, listen to me. This society that we are living in today, the elite, that crowd that's high up on the totem pole, they believe what we need to. If we just educate them more, if we'll educate the drunkard, he'll know better. We educate the drug addict, he'll know better than take drugs. Listen, we've been educating and educating and educating, and they're still doing it. It's going to take more than education. We cannot reform, we have to be transformed. And the only way that can be happening is for the grace of God to get down in the hearts of lies. If you don't believe the moderates and liberals taking over, think about their little programs they put in. Planned Parenthood, Civil Rights, NAACP, ACLU, amen, all them little LGBTQ, all that stuff. You understand what they're doing? They'll call them urban renewal programs. You get all these. That's what the modernists and the liberals want to do. My job is not to go trying to create a program and get somebody enrolled in AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, and try to get them enrolled in some kind of psychological class. My job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ into their hearts. I believe that's still the only thing that's going to change things in America is the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Somebody was talking about the Muslims on the news, and they said they have got themselves an agenda. They say that they're going out to change. And the way they change them is they kill them. Kill Christians and people that they call infidels. And I said, we have got ourselves an agenda. Amen. God said, go into all the world and preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and give them the gospel. Our job is not to kill, but to make alive. And that ought to tell you right there which one's right and which one's wrong. Amen. My job is not to go out and cut your head off because you don't believe in Jesus. I don't have to worry about that. God will take care of you at the end if you don't believe it. Hear me? So we look at it. Now, they don't believe today in all these things, the liberals and the moderates. That's why they have problems with some of the things that we have, especially like capital punishment. They don't believe in future rewards. They don't believe in judgments and being cast into hell. They very seldom ever talk about heaven or hell. They talk about the place, you know, one of these days being just being with, you know, out of this world, and anything that's on the heaven side and never on the hell side. They won't preach that. That's their philosophy. And what they do is they're standing for a society, and they say what we need to do is make everything we do count. We only got one trip through this country, and we better do it so that we can have a better society for our grandkids and so forth as we carry them through. And then I said something about capital punishment. Well, that's the modernists and the liberals today. You know who they are? That's that same crowd that when they're going to execute somebody, they have candlelight vigils, and they walk up and down the street carrying signs. That's liberals and modernists. They have more concern for the murderer than they do the murdered. They forget about the heinous crimes that they committed. And they think about that. I'll guarantee you one thing, if it's their children or their family, they'd have a different attitude about that today. Amen. They feel sorry for the criminals. People feel sorry for the criminals in this day. And I have mercy, but I want to tell you something. The Bible teaches us in the Word of God, you take a man's wife, God requires that of you. You say, that's the law. No, it's not. Go back and find out where it come from. Law had never got here then. That was back in the days of human government. The law wasn't given until the 19th and 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, when God gave that on the Mount Sinai. But God already had established that you're not... Listen, God is the one that stepped in, amen, and took care of business at the first of these things. Amen. So we just follow God. This crowd, the modernists and the liberals and the Sadducees, of course, as demonstrated in our day, don't believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus. They have life at the rapture. You talk about going up in the rapture. I've looked at some of the things that they have taught, and it's kind of funny. Amen. But they'll preach that there's no such thing as rapture, no such thing as judgment, no such thing as hell, no such thing as damnation. They're pushing their little programs to build the church their way, and they're going by their philosophies. They don't preach Bible doctrines. They don't preach repentance. They don't preach the blood of Christ. They don't preach faith in Jesus alone. It's always mixed up with works. You got to help the Lord out. We just got to do certain things. I've noticed this in all these years of preaching. Most of your chaplains in your hospitals and most of your chaplains in the prisons are modernists and liberals. And I've seen this going for years. I remember at Doctor's Hospital in Tucker. It's not there now. They took it down, but I used to go visit at Doctor's Hospital, and of course, I've been in Crawford long, all those downtown hospitals, even got that way at the Georgia Baptist Hospital. And I'd go downtown, and I'd have my pocket full of tracts, and when I got out of the parking lot and go in, I'd go down the hall passing out tracts to everybody I come in contact with. And more than one time, somebody would say, "Hey!" And I'd stop and look back, and it'd be some highbrow outfit, a Sadducee, a modernist, a liberal. Come up and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm passing out literature. I'm going down to a room to see somebody, and I want to tell people about Jesus." He said, "Oh, you can't do that in here." Now, this is years ago. You try it today and see what happens. Go down here to Habersham and cycle around, see how long it'll take you to get thrown out of there. You know what they'll tell you? Go talk to the chaplain, and we'll let you be the chaplain. They got chaplains now in these places, and they're in charge. Amen. You can't. In other words, they want to control what kind of literature it goes up. You know what they're doing, don't you? You go down to the prisons, and they got to have chaplains of every different faith come in there, and they allow that. But you know, Christians are the ones that suffer off that. They won't let you pass out everything. I just heard in the news just recently that I don't know where it was. Maybe it's schools. I guess it's schools where that they was allowing the Muslims to have an opportunity to pray five times a day. But the Christians can't do it. You understand what I'm saying today? The Sadducees have taken the modernists and liberals. But I found out that most of these modernists and liberals are chaplains in these hospitals and chaplains in these prisons. Matter of fact, you'll find most of them are those who are on the radio. Amen. There's some good men across America that's on the radio preaching. But most of them are your modernists and your liberals. And they get sponsored and they get taken care of. And you know what happens? They have to. The society is geared, radio and TV. You have to give equal opportunity, amen, to every religion if you open it. And that's why today in America, you don't have many gospel radio stations anymore. It's because if you went down the road here and opened up a radio station and started it, it's going to be all gospel. And by your way of gospel means that you're going to preach the death, burial, resurrection and the King James Bible and you're going to hold to the truth. Guess what? Amen. And you won't let those who believe in falling from grace preach on it. You won't let them over speaking in tongues preach on it. You won't let them over there who deny the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection preach on it. Then they're going to say you show impartiality. They'll shut you down. That's why you can't have it. You know why you can't have a good godly Bible bookstore in our country anymore? Because you have to let everything come in. You refuse somebody's writings and I'll guarantee you'll be in a jail or your store will be shut down. You hearing me? That's the modernists and the liberals have taken over. Somebody said, preacher, I had never thought about it like that. Well, that's where it's at. And they always call themselves clergy, chaplains. Amen. They call themselves ministers or men of the cloth. I've never figured out what that really meant. But men of the cloth. Amen. And then they love all that. I mean, those titles. They love them titles. You hear, if John the Baptist come up today, they'd call him Dr. John the Baptist. They'd call him Dr. Paul. They'd call him Dr. John. They'd call him Dr. Peter. Amen. Hear it today. Our guest speaker of the week in our revival, in our Bible conference, in our missionary conference, in our camp meeting, in our jubilee, is going to be the distinguished doctor who has written 14 books and pastored one of the largest churches in America. Isn't that about what you hear? That is the Sadducees, the modernists and the liberals. Let me give you a little story. There was a man that used to live in this part of the country. Some of you may have heard of him, and you may not. But his name was Young Dalton. My wife knows him because he was a friend of her daddy. And preached him, I believe, a few times. But Young Dalton was in this part of the country, moved off and went to California. And you, later we came along preaching, opened up the ministry called Shadow of the Steeple Ministries and started printing the literature. Somehow Young Dalton got a hold of that literature out of California. He's pastoring some big church in California. I didn't know him from anything. And the next thing I know is somebody has come to my house. Walter J. Whiting. Anybody know Walter J. Whiting? Lives down here at Demarest. And Walter J. Whiting brought him to my house. And we had the ministry in the basement of our house at that time before we had a building to put it in. And he came in and he brought Brother Young Dalton with him. And he went in and saw what we were doing and he got so disturbed and I mean he got so excited that he went back to California and introduced our work to his church and they took us on for support. Supported us several years. And I do appreciate that. But Young Dalton left that church and came back out to Oklahoma or somewhere out of that area and died later. And so they got him a new preacher. I'm leading up to what I was on the subject of. They got him a new preacher. And he saw the missionaries and looked at it. And he wrote me a nice letter. And so he said Brother Deals, I'd like for you to explain your position on the King James Bible. I'd like for you to explain to our church how you actually feel about the King James Bible. I said, well, glory to God when I get a letter like that. I can say a lot. And I did, but I had a little bit of withdrawal in the thing, saying, I believe this is a setup. And I write a letter and tell them how I strongly push the King James Bible, preach out of nothing but, study out of nothing but the King James, hold to it, believe it's God's preserved word for English-speaking people, and you know, I had some nice adjectives put in there, and holding our position. Well, he got the letter. And the next month, I got a letter and a check. And it said, this is to inform you, Mr. Deals, that this is your last support from our church. Your stand on the King James Bible is a little stronger than we do out here. And we don't take that strong a stand. I felt that's the way you... And he said, if you got a problem with it, call me. And so he said, in there, he said he was the pastor of that church. He was some kind of high up in one of the Bible institutes out there. He'd been pastoring for years and years and years. And he was... part of this and part of that. And he had a radio broadcast and a Bible bookstore. And I reckon that gave him all he needed and all the authority to drop us. And I said, well, glory to God. I don't need him to support me no how like that. Now, you may feel different about that. But I've seen that. That's modernists and liberals. And we got them all over our country. Amen. I've heard them say to people, well, I started off in one of them little strong churches. You know, a lot of these country music singers, you know where they got their start? Singing in the choir of an independent Baptist church somewhere. Now they're on the road making money and forget the church. And some of these little preachers today that have climbed up in society, they cut their teeth back yonder on old-time services. Hey, they'll say, I used to preach the second coming, but now I found out that what God wants us to do is just build His kingdom. They change their mind about it. And when they talk about that, they'll even say, well, you know what I think about these people that preach on the second coming and the rapture all the time, don't you? Here's some of the little sayings that I've picked out and heard and read. Some of them I hadn't heard, but some of them I read. Here's what they say about us old preachers that preach the second coming of the rapture going to take place. They're wild-eyed fanatics. They are soapbox preachers. They are spectacular orators. They are rabble-rousers. They are sensationalists. That's what the modernists and the liberals say about churches like ours. And the reason that these soapbox preachers preach the rapture all the time is because they couldn't get a crowd otherwise. They got to preach that to get the crowd. Amen. Now, how about that? You say, well, I don't believe all that. Well, you study what I've studied, and I'll guarantee you'll come to the same conclusion. They look down to us, see, down their nose at us. They do not know the Scriptures per se. They know a little bit about the Scriptures, but they trust more in personal experience. They trust more in personal knowledge. They trust more in their philosophy and the philosophies of others. They trust more in their education and their training that they've had. And if you were to put them in the middle of the Scriptures, it'd be like putting them in a jungle. They wouldn't know which way to go. They preach on the surface, on the outside. That makes me think about some of our preachers today that's up and down the country. And I'm not trying to be mean. There's a lot of good men out there that have had a hard time. And they've had a hard start. and they're doing good, and they'd do better if they knowed more of the Scriptures. Amen? But they got this highbrow crowd on the outside trying to push them in the wrong direction. Amen. And it bothers me. They don't know, first of all, the Scriptures. Secondly, they don't know the power of God. Amen. They don't understand that. Everything in the Bible they explain with and explain away with human reasoning. Amen. They'll explain all that away. Most of them, modernist liberal preachers, will preach out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Most of their sermons will be out of that. Now, the next time I preach out of Matthew, don't call me a liberal. But they'll preach out of the Gospels. They very seldom will preach out of the book of John, because they will preach out of it, but they'll ignore chapter 3 and those areas about you must be born again. They get away from that. And if they do preach in some of the other things, they'll look over and they preach out of the epistles, and they'll refer to, as St. Paul says, or in St. Peter's writings, or in St. John's writings. Understand what I'm saying this morning? That's what they do. They look at those things. They pay a lot of attention to the labels. They won't preach about sin, but in general. Like a fellow said, what's your preacher preach against? Preach against sin. What's he say about it? Said it's ugly and bad. Amen. But never tells them what sin is. That's the way it is. Sin, they don't preach no atoning blood, no repentance, no being born again, no being saved. They preach on things of doing and baptism. They give sermons on how to improve your life, get better at what you're doing, and ignore what the Bible says. Don't even give you no Scripture to help you get your life better. That's modernists and liberals. They don't talk about sin and its failure. If we talk about sin and its failure, we are going to have a negative attitude, and what we'll able to do is give our congregation a negative complex. They major on bringing out the best in our lives. Amen. But you know what the Bible does? It brings out the worst in our lives to show us the best in Christ's life. And if you don't ever see your bad, you won't never call out to God. Amen. Actually, I want to tell you this. I wrote down a little statement. I'll read it just like it is. We are poor, wretched, abominable, filthy, wicked, defiled, depraved, corrupt, ruined, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners that Jesus loves and gave Himself for on the cross of Calvary. Now, that's what you are. And that may have melted your butter and busted your bubble. But it's still the truth. Is it not? Amen. The modernists can't see the meaning of the first three chapters of the book of Romans. Amen. Sin is demonstrated and revealed, and you see the photograph of the sinner. All have sinned and come show the glory of God, but it's just as foreign to him, those first three chapters of Romans, as the whole book of Revelation is. And he won't preach on Revelation much because he can't understand it. You know why he can't understand it? Because you don't know the author of it. The Holy Ghost is the author. The modernist says if we believe the whole Bible just like the Bible is, we need to go back to the school and learn some things. Because he spent 2, 4, 6, 8 years in a seminary to learn how to be an infidel. And come home preaching something contrary to the Word of God. He comes back preaching how to disbelieve, how to doubt, and how to destroy the Word of God. And we got men in our pulpits in America this morning that are doing exactly that. Destroying the Word of God. Amen. You ever seen a dog that's got a flea? I'm not talking about a bunch of fleas, just one. He'll reach over to scratch, bite. You ever heard their teeth snap when they're trying to bite that flea? Y'all heard that, ain't you? And that flea will move, and he's stretching over. And that flea just, and listen, it's annoying that dog with the book of Jonah is like that to the liberals and the modernists. It's the flea, the Old Testament flea, on the back of a compromising modernist. Amen. Irritates him. You preach out of the book of Jonah. They're looking for something in life. They're looking for the upper taker. The undertaker, not the upper taker. They're looking to go to the graveyard. We're going to die and that's it. We better do everything we can before we get there. Amen. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'd like to go out of this world getting you to believe this morning that I'm more excited than that about the Lord. I'm not looking forward to an 18-inch bed that's got ruffles and a fancy pillow sealed up with a slab of copper on top of it, painted, put in a box, dirt thrown on top of it, and a marker at the top to show everybody where I'm at. Now, if that's your idea of life, you ought to get right with God and change that. Amen? Amen. Well, we look at this. We look at what we see out of the Word of God. Many of them preachers today cannot give you a definite calling in their life, but they can tell you that they chose one day to take up the profession of preaching. I could give you some stories about that. I've seen it happen. And how do they do it? They preach with great swelling words. But they're like an empty pot you put on the stove and in just boiling water, nothing in it to eat. It won't give you nothing for nutrition or health or strength. Amen. That's a little bit of the Sadducees in a nutshell this morning in our modern day. Amen. God bless you. Heads bowed. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of studying the Word of God. Give us strength and encouragement. May this morning we stand strong and true and faithful to the precious, unadulterated Word of God. Have your own life in our heart. Touch the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.